The sermon today is called, Does Calvinism Affect the Truth of the Gospel? Some people don't see it maybe as a problem, but I want to show you what it does. And remember this, I would venture to say that 60-70% of almost even all Baptist churches teach a form of Calvinism. And you may never even detect it if you go. But there's not just that, but there's a lot of denominations, a lot of churches that are preaching things with a little error in it, but you cannot sometimes detect it. But remember, rat poison is 99% cornmeal and 1% arsenic. It's that 1% arsenic that does that rat in. And remember, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So this is very important. So I want you to look there at the top of the notes that I've given to you. As long as we both teach that salvation is by grace, what's the problem? What's the problem? Why make it an issue? Well, because it becomes an issue. And I'll show you this. Calvinism and grace are not compatible because Calvinism and the gospel is not the same. Things that are different are not the same. The following simple acrostic, TULIP, is a classic Reformed five-point Calvinist viewpoint. This is points in their belief system, their theology. And to see and understand what they're saying, because most time you will not be able to detect it because it will sound so good. Now remember this. I preached all over America. I've been in a lot of churches, all kinds of churches. And even though that sometimes I've been in a lot of Calvinistic churches, but when I go, I teach what I believe. I mean wholeheartedly and hold back nothing. And I've had several preachers that have actually broke down and wept in front of their congregation because they said, I never understood this. I didn't understand it. And I've had it happen also with the teaching of the two natures, where a man stood in front of his congregation for 20 minutes and wept and says, I never could explain the two natures because I didn't understand it, and I have understood it more today in this one service. So not everybody understands. It is so important. It's a heaven and hell issue. If it wasn't, it wouldn't matter. You know, on my radio broadcasts, I come on right after R.C. Sproul. R.C. Sproul is a Calvinist. And if you listen to him, he gives you a lot of great Bible teaching. But it has a twist to it that if you're not aware, you will not detect it. John MacArthur is on radio all over America, around the world. But he is not qualified to preach in this church, nor is R.C. Sproul. Not because they have morality problem or anything else. They have doctrinal problems. And even though they may quote the Hebrew and the Greek, that is not a key to understanding the Bible. The people in Christ, they could speak Hebrew and they didn't understand it. And they also spoke Greek, and they didn't understand it. So it's not a key. You got to know the Hebrew. No, you don't. It's already been translated. All you got to do is believe what has already been written. The Scriptures will teach itself to be what it claims to be, the Word of God. Now, look at the first part here, the word TULIP. Now, the preacher may not stand up in church and say, this is the TULIP. When I do the gospel presentation, and I do the seven steps in order virtually every time I give the gospel, I always say, let this hand represent you and me, and this wallet represent sin. We have all sinned. That's point number one. And the wages of sin is death. That's point number two. And you have to be perfect to go to heaven. Point number three. And you cannot earn eternal life. Point number four. Number five, Christ died. Number six, only believe. And number seven, you can know you're going to heaven. Now, I don't usually say it that way. I just teach the truths. And many times they will teach the truth and they will not mention the word tulip. But the teaching about it is there. And it is a dangerous teaching. They teach the total depravity of man. Now, there's nothing wrong in saying that man is totally depraved, but not beyond the ability to choose. Man has the ability to choose, to make decisions, to do right and wrong, to make judgment. And God is able to hold a man responsible for his decisions. But they say a man is dead, and if he's dead, he can't do anything. Well, it means that he is separated from God. God could still talk to Adam and Eve after they were left the garden. But there was a division because of their sin. The day you eat thereof, the day you shall surely die. And so that happened that day, and he walked in the garden and says, Adam, where art thou? And he asked him to explain, and Adam simply says, the woman you made me do it. And the woman says it was the serpent. So God was able to talk to them even after sin. But we're separated from God, and so we're dead in sins and trespasses. We overstep the boundary, so we're dead. But it doesn't mean just because you're dead, you can't make decisions, that you can't place your faith. Lost men exhibit faith every day. When they get out of bed in the morning, when they get something to eat, when they put the keys in the car, when they go to work, they're always exhibiting faith. So don't tell me that, well, they can't have faith. Yes, they can have faith. So number two, unconditional election. It means that a saved man is God's decision only. It means out of all the people in the world, God has already predetermined, chosen certain ones to save and other ones not to save. Now, this is a teaching of Calvinism. I do not believe that. I think it is detrimental. It is destructive to a clear understanding of the love of God. So when he makes the statement, unconditional election means that you didn't do anything for God to choose you. But it was God's decision only. The next one is L stands for limited atonement. Look up here. If I, for example, you represent the world, but I'm going to take the first three rows over here and I'm going to choose them to go to heaven. I'm sorry for the rest of you, but I'm sure you'll understand that this is still by grace. Because see, they didn't deserve it either. You didn't either. So you shouldn't get upset because I let them go to heaven. See, you deserve to go to hell anyway. Now, so if I'm going to send my son into the world to die for the sins of the world. See, I don't have to have him pay for y'all's sin because you're not going anyway. So I'm going to have my son. It's a limited atonement. It means it's limited to those that God has already chosen. So he doesn't have to pay for your sins. Only these. So look at the next statement. The I stands for irresistible grace. So look up here. So since I'm going to save just these, I am going to draw only them, and they are going to respond because my grace is irresistible, meaning you can't resist. Now, you don't get the offer. Only them that I've chosen ahead of time. And therefore, they have been chosen, and my son paid for their sins, and salvation is offered just to them, and they can't refuse. So the next statement is this. The P stands for perseverance of the saints. All right, look up here. If I, as God, I chose them, I gave them the faith to believe, And they have responded because it was irresistible grace. So I saved them. And so the last thing is they will perform. They are going to live automatically right with me. Look at that last statement that I wrote on here. Those whom God chose will automatically serve. So these that I've chosen to save, it's automatic. They will serve. So this is why you have lordship salvation taught. They must. They have no option. They must serve me. That's their only way of knowing that I really chose them to start with. So if they don't serve, they're not really chosen. So they have got to live their whole life producing these good works because it becomes the evidence that they have really been chosen by God to be saved. Now, they may do it for 10 years, but if they let down in that 11th year, that's a sign they never really were chosen. And you say, well, that's terrible. I know it. And that's been taught and over and over of the churches in this country. I'm serious. This is why some people, well, I know she's not saved. You ought to see how she's living. You wouldn't make that decision and that discernment if you believed salvation was really by grace. But you'll notice that there's a lot of people that judge whether a person is saved or lost because of how they live. And if you don't live it, you don't have it. And that's wicked. That is not the Bible. So now, remember this. The perseverance of the saints. If the saints do not persevere, that means they're to live a holy, godly life. And there is no option. They must. They must. If this doesn't happen, none of the above happened. If they don't live it, none of the above really happened. The man was not given faith. He was not really chosen. Christ really didn't pay for his sins and him understanding and accept that as his only way to heaven. He really didn't do that. He was not really saved by grace because, lo and behold, because he didn't persevere, it was a sign he wasn't saved at all. Now, is that affecting the truth of the gospel? So, it does affect the message that we tell. Now, look at the next statement. Remember that the gospel is good news. Calvinism is in defiance of these gospel truths. Now, look at number one. Because if it's good news, well, think about it. What's good news? It is good news if God so loved everyone. Wouldn't that be good news? But what if you heard God loved everybody but 10 people? What would you think? How do you know you're not one of those 10? But it's good news if you hear God loves everybody. That's good news. Number two, it is good news if Christ died for everyone. Wouldn't it? But would it be good news if Christ died for everybody but 50 people? How do you know you're not one of those? And he will not love you. And he did not die for you. Would this affect the message that we tell the lost man? Number three, it is good news if salvation is offered to everyone. Think it through. Think. It is good news to know God loves everyone. It's good news to know that he died for everyone. And it's good news to know that he offers salvation to everyone. Wouldn't that be good news? The next point, number four, it is good news if eternal life is a present possession at the very moment of belief for everyone, if I believed that very moment, He would give me eternal life. But not just to me, but to everyone who believes that moment. If He gave it to me that moment that I believed, then I will know that I'm going to heaven when I die that moment. Isn't it good to know, good news, that I know I'm going to heaven when I die? What about those under the perseverance of the saints? You have to wait and see if you're producing this so-called good life to know whether you're saved or not. And what if you have good days and then you have bad days? What if you just lose it one day and you really cussed out your wife and you bit the dog? You did everything wrong. And you think, well, now, am I saved or am I lost? Or could you even think, you know, I watched that on TV and that was terrible. That was filthy. Maybe I'm not saved because I have these lusts in my flesh. I think things that I shouldn't think. And I get angry and mad and filled with envy and bitterness and jealousy and hatred. I must not be saved. So you'll question and doubt your own salvation because somebody says, well, if you're really saved, you're not going to want to do those things. Whether you want to do it or not doesn't stop the fact you do. Every person in this room, you still get angry and mad and bitter and you lose it. And you think things you're not supposed to think. It wouldn't surprise me that once in a while you even told a lie. Now, I'm glad I don't open up a confession booth up here. And the reason is because I couldn't handle all of you at one time. Now look at number five. Number five is very important. It is good news if no one must have good works before salvation or after salvation. For salvation to truly be by grace, it must not have any stipulations of any kind at any time. Works before, during, or after. Works cannot be evidence of my salvation. Cannot be. Well, if you're really saved, you're not going to... No, don't even go down that road. Because it's not true. Now listen to me. I'm going to make a statement. And you listen to what I'm saying. You mean to tell me that I can trust Christ as my Savior? And that God will give me the free gift of everlasting life. And I'll become His child. I'll have eternal life. I'm going to heaven when I die. And I can go out and live like I please. And still go to heaven when I die. Yes. If you say no, you don't get it. If you say no, you don't get it. Your heaven and hell depend upon your getting it. If it is by your works, it cannot be by grace. If it is by grace, it cannot be by your works. People say, well, if you're really saved, you'll have a changed life. Maybe you will and maybe you won't. But you cannot draw the conclusion based upon your life. Because today you may be in church and you're looking so holy. And tomorrow you may be one of the most ungodly individuals on planet Earth. My salvation does not depend upon how I live. Nothing that I've done in 53 years gives me the assurance that I'm saved. How do I know that I'm saved? Because I trusted Christ as my Savior 53 years ago in a little old living room, and all I did is trust Christ and Him alone. And all I had was John 3:16. And that was my assurance at that moment before I lived a day, I knew I was going to heaven. Nothing after that point can alter it. God can't change it. I can't change it. It's a done deal. He stuck with me whether He likes it or not. I'm going to heaven. Now, look at the bad news. Look at the bad news in your paper. Number one, it is bad news if everyone is not the same before God. Now, if all of you in this room representing the world, and I chose just the first three rows. The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. If I was you, I'd want to know, why did He choose them and not me? And how are they supposed to know they were chosen? Because they said they were. How does R.C. Sproul know he was one of the chosen? He said it. How does MacArthur know he's one of the chosen? He said he was. It's all based upon his decision. And then he knows it was really chosen based upon how he lived. And they'll tell you, they're not sure they're going to make it. Because there's no way of being sure. Because, see, it's nebulous when it depends upon, I have to judge by my life, my works. Well, who's the judge? You? Where's your assurance come from? You see, if I simply take God at His word, and He says, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, hath, right now, hath everlasting life. When do I have everlasting life? That very moment. And who said so? God. That's assurance. God said it. I don't look to me or anything that I've done or going to do as assurance. Take your Bible and look there in this verse. In the book of Romans in chapter 3. Romans in chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22. It is bad news if everyone is not the same before God. God's righteousness is to everyone because there is no difference, for all have sinned. And God cannot pick and choose. It has to be the same for everybody. He either has to choose all of us or He can't choose any of us. In verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is what? No difference. No difference. And that's why he says up here in verse 19, for we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And then he says over there in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none in verse 12. They're all gone out of the way. We are all sinners, the whole world. Let God be true and every man a liar, it says over there in verse 4. So, man, there's no difference. God can't pick and choose. He says there is no difference. You're all the, and whatever He does for lost men, He has to do the same for everyone. That's why God so loved the world. Everybody. But now, a Calvinist say He loves those that He's chosen to save. To me, that's wicked. That means that a Calvinist cannot stand in the pulpit or witness to an individual and say confidently, assuredly, God loves you. How can you tell a man God loves you when you already know God doesn't love them? He only loves those that He's chosen to go to heaven. I can say God loves every one of you. I can tell you when Christ died on that cross, He died for you. I sat there at that woman and I looked at her and I says, did you realize that God loved you so much He'd rather die than live without you? If there was nobody else on this planet, He would rather die than live without you. That's how important you are to God. Now, can I stand up and tell all those people that can't believe, God doesn't love you at all? Does the Calvinist teaching affect the gospel, the message of what you can tell a lost person? I think so. So he says in verse 22 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So what he did for one, he had to do for all. And he just spent three chapters telling how bad we are. The whole world. There's no difference. Jews, Gentiles. Look at number two. It is bad news if God did not offer salvation to everyone. Now take your Bible, look in John chapter 3. The Gospel of John in chapter 3. Simple little verses that we sometimes maybe take for granted. Well, everybody knows those verses. Well, I was 18 years old and I had never heard them. My father-in-law showed this to me for the first time. And it wasn't in a church. So look there in verse 15. That whosoever, they can't believe that whosoever means whosoever. That means only those that God's chosen, whosoever of y'all. If you'll believe it, you can have it. But you will believe it because I'm going to give you irresistible grace and you have to believe it. And then on top of that, you'll have to serve me as a proof that you really believe it and I gave you the faith. Now you can buy that if you want to. And they're on radio every day putting out that poison. And that's exactly what it is. To say God said, and God didn't say, that's a dangerous thing. I'm supposed to just tell you what the Word of God and leave out my personal opinions out of it. But I do have a few little opinions here a long time, but a lot of times I'll tell you, that's Yankeeology. But I can tell you upon the authority of this book, when he says whosoever, I actually believe he means whosoever. Anybody. Whosoever believeth in him, it's the same for everybody. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It means won't go to hell, but have everlasting life. Have eternal life. Whosoever, anybody. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every individual. I believe that. So do you think that the Calvinist teaching can affect my message? And if it can affect my message, can it affect my life? Why I do what I do? It affects it. This is what I believe a lot of people do not witness because it's not that important. If God has already determined who he's going to save, why in the world should I waste my time trying to reach somebody? Whatever will be, will be. That's good for Doris Day, but it ain't going to cut it in scriptures. So he says in verse 16, look in verse 16. For God so loved the world. Well, that doesn't really mean world. It means these that I've chosen. These. And they'll tell you, that doesn't mean that. But that's what it said. And they said, well, then they had to get into the Hebrew and the Greek. Well, in the Greek it says. I don't care what the Greek says. I got me a good old King James Version, and it's right there. Already been translated. I don't have to translate the Bible. If you got so much smart, why can't you just believe what God said? I know I have eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And you tell me why, pray tell, I would ever give up my security for that hogwash. That's what it is. You say, you don't like them, do you? I love the people, but I hate the error because it contradicts what God said. So he says here in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for just a few. That whosoever, well, why say whosoever if they're already chosen and they don't have a choice? Why say something like that? It has no meaning to it. The whole thing is a joke. Take your Bible, go home, throw it in the trash, live like the devil because God's already determined who's going and who's going to hell and you ain't going to change it. But I don't believe that. That's why we have ranch and that's why we have camp and that's why we want internet and that's why we want the radio ministry because I believe God really meant what he said. Now look what he says in verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, if he's already chosen, they will be. Duh. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm too smart for my own good. Look in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he has not been chosen. If God didn't choose them, they can't believe. You see, it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make sense. But you see, there's a logical thought process. And it boils down to, you can't tell me. you can just trust Christ as your Savior and live like you please and still go to heaven when you die. Because they believe you've got to do something. And even though they tack it on the backside, it still works added to it. They don't add it here, they add it here. And you don't add it at all. One way or the other, you don't add it. Then why do I serve? I had a person tell me, said, this is recently. If I believe what you believe, I'd go out here and live like the devil. I said, I believe what I believe and I don't. I said, you don't believe what you believe and you do. You trying to tell me I can just live like I please? I says, you do, don't you? Don't you? Everybody in this room, you're living exactly the way you want to live. Duh. I was up at Northside, and they'd go through, and one person says, why don't you tell me what you really think? I said, I thought I did. But it is so important to get this. Now, look at the next statement. It is bad news. It is bad news if Christ did not die for every man's sins. That would be bad news. Because you wouldn't know if that was you. He didn't die for you. He died for some, but he didn't die for everybody, so that means you could have been left out. It's got to be referring to somebody. Somebody has got to be without hope. How would you like it? And sometimes they use this illustration. You know, here you are, and I die. There's the gates of heaven. Whosoever will may come. Oh. And I look back over to the chosen before the foundations of the world. He loved me so much. He chose me out of all of y'all. He saw something different about me. But if I was over here and I died, and whosoever does not believe, the wrath of God abides upon him, and I die, and I go to hell, and look, chosen to go to hell from the foundations of the world. Would you have a problem with that? You say, something ain't fair. God is not just. Remember, God must be judged as just by the unjust. Everybody is going to sit in judgment on God because God must be judged as just. Whatever God does, it has to be right because mankind will do that. And God's going to give every man his chance in court. Great white throne judgment. Look at the next statement. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, take your Bible and look at it real quick. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And look in verse 2. And he, talking about Christ, is the propitiation for our sins. That means the payment for our sin. Means God was satisfied with the payment that Christ made. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What did the Bible say? The whole world. Not just for us who believe, but also for those that don't believe. So that they are condemned because they believe not. They did not believe. If it wasn't because it was, they couldn't believe because God didn't choose them to. They didn't have a choice. Why would God hold a person responsible for his choice if he has no choice? And that bothers me. Look at number 6 in your paper. First of all, I want you to see Titus 3:5. Look over it. You've got to see Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Right before the book of Philemon, right before Hebrews, right after Timothy, 2 Timothy. Look in Titus chapter 3 and look in verse 5. This verse will knock your socks off if you have them on. Verse 5, not of works or not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. So saved is a past tense. I have already been saved. not by my works. And that cannot be undone. Once a man is saved, it can't be undone. It's already done. I am already saved from hell. I can't go to hell. The reason I can't go to hell today or tomorrow or any time in the future is because I don't have any sins to pay for. Christ paid for all my sins. Does that mean that I don't want people to serve the Lord? If you know me at all, I do everything I possibly can to challenge God's children to serve the Lord with all their heart. That's why we have camps. We do all that we possibly can. That's why we got the Bible college and the night school going. Because we're trying to teach people. We should serve the Lord because we're going to heaven, but we don't serve the Lord to get to heaven. And I'm so glad that if I don't serve the Lord, I already know, because the Word tells me, God's going to beat the tar out of me. He's going to chasten me, discipline me, maybe take me home before my time. I had a dad who beat me half to death. I think he killed me 3 or 4 times. But I know what chastening is. I do not have any desire to see my Heavenly Father whoop me. And I really enjoy living, so I would like to stay here as long as I can. It's not that I'm afraid to die. I've just never done it before. I just don't want to hurt. If he takes me like this, I don't mind it. So, but that verse is awesome. Not by works of righteousness, which I've done. Or am going to do. It can't change. I'm already saved. Therefore, I serve the Lord because of what Christ has done for me. Now, look at the last one. Number 6 there. It is bad news if a person must look at his life to determine if he's really saved. Because you say, well, I go to church. I change my life. I go to church. Well, a lot of people have been doing that for years. Does that mean they're saved too? Well, I give money now. Okay, well, a lot of people give money. Does that mean they go to heaven? How does that prove you're going to heaven? What kind of a change was that? That now I know that I'm really saved. Well, a lot of people do that and they don't know they're saved. The only thing that makes a difference between you and them is that you trust the Lord and they didn't. You see, you can't go by a changed life. You can't even go by the desires that you have. Well, I really want to do right. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you do right. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. You open the medicine cabinet, and you want to take 2 aspirins, and your wife had already put some arsenic in there, and you took that, and you're dead meat. Sincerity, and you're still dead. When it comes to serving the Lord, you should do it with all your heart. And God said that if I would serve Him, He said He would bless my life. He says if I serve Him, I'll get rewarded when I get to heaven. But see, if I don't, I know I'm still God's child and God's going to chasten me and discipline me. I would rather tell people the truth. The truth is once you trust me as your Savior, you can't go to hell if you tried. I haven't tried. But I can't go there. Because I've been saved. I'm saved from that. Shall not perish. And he that believeth on Him is not condemned. Well, I believe in, I can't be condemned. Law can't touch a dead man. So this is why this is so important. Look at the next statement. Letter C. Which one of these is the truth? A or B? Which do you believe is the truth? Can you figure it out? I know it's difficult. But can you discern between A and B? Which one do you think really contains the gospel? A, let me see your hand. B, very good. Very good. Y'all get an A. Well, that A is right. Letter D, which one represents Calvinism? Which one of these sets of teaching represents Calvinism? Can you figure that out? B, that is their message. It's bad news. It's not good news. Now, in the midst of all of that, they'll even say that you're saved by grace, and it will be the truth. But it's what leads up to it and what comes from it that can be so damaging. And there's a lot of good men that do know the Lord and love the Lord. They're just mixed up in some of the theology. So you may be straight and clear on the gospel, but your life may be a mess. There's some people whose lives are straightened out, but their doctrine is a mess. Letter E. Look at letter E. Does Calvinism affect the truth of the gospel? Yes or no? Yes, it does. Letter F. Can the false teaching of Calvinism affect your Christian life and your presentation of the gospel? It can. And that's why it makes a difference of what you believe. That's why the Lord says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look at the last statement down there. If Calvinism is true, you can't tell every lost person that God loves you, died for you, or that you could be saved. But when you believe what God said, and this is why they shouldn't say things God didn't say. God so loved the world. Christ came into the world and died on the cross so that whosoever would believe it could know they have eternal life and know that they're going to heaven whenever they die. Look up here. Watch this. This is so important. Even if you've seen it 1,000 times, listen as though you've never heard it before and learn how to give the gospel. This hymn represents you and me. We're all the same. There is no difference in God's eyes. We're all sinners. And because we have all sinned, we're all condemned. We're all guilty before a righteous God. But God says that He loves us. Now, He hates our sin, but He loves us, the whole world. But He says that the payment has to be made, and so we're all guilty to spend an eternity in hell. But God wants us to go to heaven. But to go to heaven, we have to be perfect. And no, none of us are perfect. We're not good enough to go to heaven. Some people say, well, you mean I'm not good enough to go to heaven? That's right. You're not. None of us are. There is none good. The Bible says you cannot earn your way to heaven. This hand represents Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh. Came into this world. He had no sin, so He didn't have to die. So because He loved us, He took our sin, the sins of the whole world. He didn't take part of it just for those who's going to leave. No, no. He took all the sin of all the world, paid for it on the cross. Came back from the dead and says, if we would believe that He did it for us, He would put this payment to our account and we'd go to heaven on what Christ did for us. And all you had to do was believe it. Well, you believe that what He did it for you. And when you believe that, this death payment's put to your account, so you have a payment for how many of your sins? All of them. You see, if I have a payment for all of my sins, I can't go to hell. Why? Because I have a payment for my sin. Christ died for my sins so that I don't have to pay for them. That's what that means. When He says Christ died for me, what does that mean? It means I don't have to pay for them. Now, is that good news or not? That's good news. And He says He gives me as a free gift everlasting life. I go to heaven on what Jesus Christ did for me. It's the best news in all the world. Let's pray, shall we? With head bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. I'm going to ask you right where you are. I'm not going to have you stand up, not embarrass you. But I'd like to know if what I said made sense to you. If it does make sense, and you've never trusted the Lord, I want you to know God loves you. He did die for you. He will give you eternal life if you will believe. Will you believe that He loves you, that He died for you, came back from the dead, and that He'll give you eternal life if you accept Him as your Savior? He will. Believe that. And if you're making that decision, say, preacher, that made sense to me, and I will trust Christ as my Savior right now. And I'd like to know. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Raising your hand doesn't save you. Just lets me know that what I said made sense to you. So before we close today, is anyone at all say, yes, I made that decision this morning. I want to know I'm going to heaven when I die. And yes, I will trust Christ right now as my Savior. Friend, would you just slip your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Is anyone at all? Anyone at all? Yes, God bless you. And you can put it down. Anyone else? Just slip it up very quickly. I pray that all of you have trusted Christ as your Savior. If you're watching by internet, all you got to do is just punch it on the screen. And by doing so, it'll send us a message that, yes, you trusted Christ as your Savior, and I pray that you will. Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Thank you for those that indicated by an uplifted hand that they'd trust your Savior, whether here in the auditorium or those that are online, because it's so important. A lot of people don't know that you really love them, that you died and paid for their sins. Help us to be faithful in telling them. Tell the whole world. We thank you for it in Christ's name.